The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Pat and Stu, 888-727 Beck, and the lovely thing.
Don't.
Don't. What do you mean don't?
Don't
what?
Don't try to pretend like you're and the lovely.
I'm not pretending anything.
Don't.
Stupid Jeffy. I mean, you know, I gotta say it, Jeffy.
Don't.
A lot of people are saying it on Facebook Live today.
Don't.
They're not fans. I'll say that.
Man, they just wanted us to attack you. We've been trying to tell them, no, we don't do that. That's not us.
It's not in our character.
It's not in our makeup. It's not in our DNA. We don't do that. We don't play that.
Is that right?
Homie, don't play that. So I don't know why they were I don't know why they were asking for that.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot of people look at us, and I think appropriately so, as the last line of defense for Jeffy. You know, so many people want to take Jeffy down, want to criticize him, and we kind of stand in there and we take the bullets for him,
right?
And you know, we do everything we can to kind of
help
him along and get through.
Try to soften the blows that other people are swinging at him.
They just don't. I mean, they just plainly do not like the man. And we keep saying,
and it's understandable. I mean, I get it.
We keep saying, no, come on. I mean, you're analyzing the situation correctly, but come on, that's not so nice. You know, that's what we say. How many times have we said that?
Oh my gosh.
We're like, hey, we agree on all your points. Your points are there.
Yeah.
It's like with the president and the Charlottesville thing.
His points are there. It's not the time.
Right. It's just not the time for it. And you know, look, are there good points to be made that there's been a lot of violence on the left recently as well? Yes.
I mean, and there was violence at that.
At that rally
in Charlottesville. Even Maria Bartiromo this morning on Fox Business said, hey, the other side came charging at them.
Yeah.
And she's getting flack for it now. You're not supposed to even, I guess you can't speak the words. And right, this isn't the time, but I mean, can we not just accept the truth? And if somebody points it out, you don't have to go crazy. I bet they'll be calling for her dismissal over that.
You think? I mean, it's Fox Business. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe nobody saw it.
Well, I didn't mean that. I meant, you know, you're in Fox. I think the audience is not going to necessarily rise up against that.
Right.
But I will say this. It's like, because it's not the time. It's not the time for the president to say it. He's the president of the United States. The problem with Trump a lot of times in these situations is he thinks of himself as a talk show host.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, well, you know, talk show
hosts.
That's
the position he should have run for.
Yeah. I wouldn't have elected him for that either.
No, I wouldn't either, but it'd be better.
Right, and it's an appropriate time. Like, for us to come out and say, look, here's what he said. This is the truth. Number one, there really is something to be said for them coming after the founders next. Because once that is where
and
I feel
how
uncomfortable.
Disingenuous is it? Either disingenuous or just sheer and utter stupidity. On the part of all of these people who are saying, him equating Robert E. Lee with George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, that's a fundamental misunderstanding of history. That's not what he was doing. What he was doing was saying, this is a slippery slope. And today you're after Robert E. Lee because why? Because he was a general for the Confederacy fighting for slavery. Well, okay, the next step then is that you go after our slave-owning founding fathers. That's what he was saying. Are you so stupid you can't understand that point?
And the worst thing is, you know
what? Come on.
No.
They're not so stupid.
They're not.
They do understand the point. They also know that it's accurate, or at least a legitimate fear of someone who is defensive of the founders.
Already happened. We played the sound from the Vice.
Yeah, we actually have it right here. This is going to be part four. If we could skip to that of the Vice clips. By the way, the Vice thing. Let's quickly mention this before we play this clip. It's 22 minutes. It aired, I guess, on Monday night. It's from the Vice News HBO show. Now, that show, Glenn was actually on the very first episode of that show.
Oh, yeah.
If you remember from a little while ago. But it's been airing. I don't, there's a lot of stuff Vice does that I don't agree with. A lot of their stuff is great. But this in particular, if this 22 minutes is one of the best pieces of news coverage I've ever seen. Mm. I mean, you are right in the middle of it. You are, I mean, it is intense to watch. If you have 22 minutes today, I highly recommend going to find this. I know I've tweeted it. I think I did it yesterday, if you're looking for it. But, I mean, you can find
it. The whole episode?
Much place. Yeah, I think they put the whole episode. It was 22 minutes long. And there's one reporter who's there interviewing some of the people, but it's mostly just you're in the middle of this. It's shot really nicely. It's put together incredibly. And you'll see points like this, which is part four, where this does this not justify? It's anecdotal. It's one person. But this is a sentiment that has been out there
for a very long time.
We've heard it thousands
of
times.
And we'll hear it again.
We've heard it from regular people all the way up to high-level professors who have made arguments like this. But here is the clip from the Vice special that vindicates Donald Trump's point, not whether he should have been making it at that level, but the point he was making is obviously true. Watch.
This is the face of supremacy. This is what we deal with every day being African American. And this has always been the reality of Charlottesville. You can't stand in one corner in this city and not look at the master sitting on top of Monticello. He looks down on us. He's been looking down on this city for God knows how long. This is Charlottesville.
That is unbelievable. She's talking about Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah.
The master of Monticello. Thomas Jefferson. She's talking about removing him from looking down on the city, on the college that he created, in the state where he was instrumental in helping raise, and in the country that he helped found. I mean, that is unbelievable. That is unbelievable.
Absolutely incredible. And it was interesting to kind of see that. And, you know, everybody in the media being critical of Trump today, 100% is familiar and knows the argument she's making. Because many of them have made it themselves.
Yep.
But other than that, it's a very common argument. And it's a point that is understandable. Is it a slippery slope argument at some level? Yes. Is there a bright line between Robert E. Lee and George Washington? Absolutely there is. I mean, I would never put up a statue to Robert E. Lee. Never. The issue with conservatives, however, is you're worried about the attacks on history because you can make, and it's easy to make a guy who's an enemy of the United States. I mean, that's what Robert E. Lee was. He was an enemy of the United States. He separated and went to war with the United States. That's who this guy was. Yes, he did other things. Yes, he was had a high level of achievement in his life. Yes, there are moments in his life where he is very friendly, not only to America, but also to African Americans. At that time, they weren't called African Americans, but he was he actually stood up at times in his life to back African Americans in tough times. He wasn't all horrible, but again, the defining moment of his life, he spent fighting against the United States of America. And so I would never put a statue up about that. But where conservatives, I think, hesitate with this, and it's where it makes me nervous. Because I am 100% fine with never seeing another Confederate statue outside of a museum. 100% fine with it. I don't think these people should be lionized. But when you start doing this, you can always find a way to take a different era and say the people who did that were bad. And, you know, slavery is a really easy line from here. You know, Lee was fighting for slavery. Washington had slaves. Jefferson had slaves. That's not a part of them. I don't consider that the defining moment of their lives like I do with Lee. But still, you can get there from here. And many on the left have tried it already. Many of them have. So it is not crazy at all to think that that is where we're going here. And you know what? In 20, I don't know how long, 20 years, 10 years, we'll be there. We will be there.
Sure. Yeah. And, I mean, they're already taking down Confederate statues at an amazing rate. Mm-hmm. I mean, they quietly removed some from Baltimore last night. They've got these guys all over the South, and in some cases in the North as well. And should they go? I'm not a big fan of the Confederacy, frankly. Never
wow.
have been.
How yeah. dare you?
Not a big fan.
How dare you?
I was rooting against them. And so.
What?
Yeah.
Outwardly?
Yeah.
Oh,
inwardly and outwardly.
When you watch a Civil War movie, who do you root for?
The North. The Union troops.
Oh, my
troops.
Gosh. You said it. You
yeah.
said it.
I did say it.
You know you live in the South?
I said it. Yes, I know. I know that.
And you rooted for the other team?
Yeah. Is that amazing?
No. That's actually how everyone in the United States today should be rooting. So,
but do we need to remove all traces of our history? I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, if you don't like the statue, don't look at it. I'm so tired of this, where everybody is so offended by things that are meaningless.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, don't look at it then.
Give you an example of this. I don't think anyone here would say that we're fans of Vladimir Lenin.
No.
And while I would love to have every Vladimir Lenin statue in the United States, and there are some removed and mm-hmm. tossed into into the garbage, I don't get all that worked up about it.
Yeah.
Now, remember, too, slave owners were really, really bad people. The Confederacy, there was a lot of people who were really bad in the Confederacy and did terrible things. None mm-hmm. of them are responsible for 100 million dead like communists are. And, you know, if you want to be specific to the Soviet Union, you can cut that down to only 20 million dead, give or take. So, I'm incredibly offended by communism. The idea of one of those people being lionized is awful. And these people were objectively worse by many measures than even slave owners or people who fought for the Confederacy. But that being said, I'm not going to get all that worked up about a statue.
Yeah.
It's a stupid statue. If you don't want it, right. If you don't like it, just walk past it. I mean, what do you mean he's looking down at you? It's a freaking statue. Statues don't look at anything. They're inanimate objects. That's what they just, they're there. They're not looking down on you. They're not doing anything. And by the way, mm-hmm. While Jefferson was a flawed man in some ways, there's no doubt about that. He also was responsible for almost all the freedoms we enjoy today, arguably. Yeah. I mean, the guy did a lot of good in his life,
too. Yeah, he did. He sure did.
So, I mean, again, I would define Jefferson's life by those things. Maybe I'm being unfair here. But, I mean, you know, Lee did good things in his life. But, you know, when you fight against the United States of America for a country that demanded every state in it have slavery be legal, and mm-hmm. that is a requirement of being part of the country,
and
the Confederacy.
All future states
and
will.
All future states will. In fact, the Constitution's went on a length. You read it the other day on radio. If you want to go back and read the Confederate Constitution, that's what they were advocating.
Easy to find online.
Yeah.
So.
So you don't need to go to the museum and see the real one like Glenn did.
Article 4, Sections 2 and 3, or 3 and 4, one of the two. So, I mean, it's really readily available. Mm-hmm. You can read about it. Because a lot of people will say, well, it was about states' rights. No, not really, because they took away the rights of the states to choose whether or not they were going to be slave states.
That's kind of an amazing thing. It really wasn't about states' rights.
It wasn't.
I fully agree with states' rights. You know who else does? Mm-hmm. I don't know. The 10th Amendment of the Constitution is pretty clear on it.
Yeah.
10th Amendment of the Constitution is damn clear on whether states should have rights. However, there's another amendment after that that kind of clears up that not every right is the states. And to imprison mm-hmm. people and to enslave them for your own benefit, it's one of those amendments that, you know, it's not so... It's not, you don't really have that right, because the Constitution is pretty clear on that point as well.
Yeah, and I wanted to bring this up because this Michael Moore is, for some reason, being talked about again. He's showing up on shows, and people are listening to what he says. What a buffoon. This guy is just butt stupid.
Yes. He's also overweight.
Yes.
Just that. Yes.
I mean, Jeffy is Karen Carpenter in comparison.
Yes.
That's true.
That's really mean to say about Michael Moore, but
it's true.
It's true.
Okay. And well, we'll get into this in a second. First of all, we got to tell you about getting caught up in all this stuff. you know, and sometimes you get so caught up in it that you forget about the principles our nation was founded on and that they still apply today. Things like self-reliance, being able to protect yourself and your family and to provide without having to depend on the government.
Or being scared by statues. That's why we both depend on My Patriot Supply. They've got a 102-serving survival food supply right now available for only $99. And you're thinking, oh, the shipping's probably $1,000. No, it's free.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and these guys weren't even around during the Civil War, so you can't blame any of it on them.
None.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It includes their popular creamy chicken rice. Delicious food. Lasts up to 25 years in storage. And it's less than a dollar per serving.
888-411-5290 is the number to call. 888-411-5290 or preparewiththeblaze.com. It's preparewiththeblaze.com.
Deal. Hello and welcome, Pat and Stu. 888-727-BECK. We were talking about Fatso Michael Moore, and I know that you expected Jeffy to be the Fatso we were talking about, but we weren't in this particular.
Totally different Fatso.
Why would they expect that?
In fact, that Fatso makes this Fatso look like Karen Carpenter.
No, wait.
No, the other way around, please.
No. Yeah, this Fatso makes that Fatso look like
you
Karen
can't even, you can't really even be nice and be nice.
I kind of like the other
can't
way.
Can't even be nice and be nice.
Now that you said it both ways,
it worked
ways,
a little better
like
the first
one.
Way, right? Anyway, here's what this buffoon just said about, he was talking about Trump's comments yesterday, and Trump, he had the audacity to actually say that there was violence on both sides. That's true. But he shouldn't have said it, perhaps, at this juncture.
There's no point. Just take it out of the idea of whether he should do it or not. Does it benefit him in his presidency?
No, it does not.
It doesn't.
It hurts.
Leave that to Hannity to make on the show the next night. Leave that to the talk shows the next day.
He doesn't have that skill set, though.
No, no.
That's a skill set he doesn't have.
He thinks of himself as a talk show host.
Yes. Michael Moore said, if you vote for a man who says what he said today, that the white nationalists were the victims, not what he said, that he equated George Washington and Thomas Jefferson with Robert E. Lee, again, not even close to what he said.
No, he made a slippery slope argument. That is not the way of saying you're equating two things.
He was comparing a guy who fought for the retention of slavery with the South, with two guys who had slaves. That's the comparison there.
But it's not even a comparison. It's like saying, oh man, if I have a Twinkie, it's going to start me on this path, and eventually I'll look like Michael Moore. And it's like, well, I'm not saying that having one Twinkie turns you into Michael Moore.
Right.
What I'm saying is, if you go down this path and you continue down this path, this is where it ends.
Yes. So he compares them that way and said that the people were trying to stop the racism. Again, he didn't say that, did he? Did he say that the people who were there were trying to stop racism? I didn't see him say that if he did.
I mean, people are saying that about Antifa. What they're saying that they were there to try to stop the racism. I mean, look, that is a ridiculously friendly way of looking at Antifa. Yes, they say they're anti-fascist. Look at their tactics. They are not anti-fascist. What are they arguing for? It's not a constitutional republic.
No.
That is not what they're looking for here.
No.
They're looking to beat the crap out of people they don't like. And just because, someone posted this today. Nazis are bad. They are. But you know what? Not everybody who fights against Nazis is good.
Yes.
You know? And then I think they posted a picture of Stalin. To make the point perfectly clear, it's true that Nazis are awful and why I want to fight them. But that doesn't mean everybody that fights them is a good guy. It's okay to admit that.
So he then goes on to equate supporters of Donald Trump to enablers of rapists.
How the hell did he get there?
Unbelievable. Let me see if I can find that section. Okay, wait a second.
Should we play a couple clips
okay,
here?
Okay, so Lemon, he was on Don Lemon's show, and Lemon said, not all Trump supporters are rapists, and he said, not all. I said the vast majority.
Rapists or racists?
Racist.
Okay.
Not all. I said the vast majority, Michael Moore says. And they take offense to people calling them racist because they supported him. So the question is, how do you deal with that? And here's Michael Moore's response to that. If you hold down the woman while the rapist is raping her and you didn't rape her, are you a rapist?
I
don't even know how to make that work.
No, it's a big jump there.
That
is really
bizarre.
Well, that's Michael Moore, I suppose. Can we play a couple more of these clips from Vice? Because these are so amazing. Part one here, this is kind of just, you want to set the scene of what this looked like that night? Because one of the things that I think was really dumb that Trump said during his press conference was, you know, look, not everybody on that side was a bad guy. Now, while it may be true, yet again, that there was a separate gathering of people who just, and there certainly are plenty of people who are not awful that just oppose the removal of these statues, look at the imagery of from this rally. Could you be a good person walking in this march? I ask you, I honestly, can you be a good person walking in this march? Watch.
Jews will not replace us! Jews will not replace us!
Look at the crowd. Wow. There's a lot of them.
I mean, I'm sorry. I don't think he can be.
Wow.
Now, you saw there's one woman who's sitting there. She's got nice sunglasses on. She looks very normal. And she sort of has a smile. She's not really paying close attention to what's going on. It doesn't appear. I don't know. I don't see how you'd miss it. I don't see how can you walk through that rally with people, again, carrying torches and making those chants. I mean, I don't see how you point out that there's a good person in that crowd.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
Yeah.
I mean, you can support the general cause of not removing the statue and be a good person. But, I mean, that rally, and that's the one that's been covered. It's the one everyone's been talking about. It's difficult. Even if you're in the back and you don't hear the chants, how you're in that line with torches is, I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me at all. I don't know how you could possibly connect yourself with that. Here is one of the white supremacists, the racists that kind of organized this rally, giving you a little talk about Trump. And it kind of comes off as it's going to be anti-Trump. But listen to the whole thing. Watch.
I'm here to spread ideas, talk, in the hopes that somebody more capable will come along and do that. Somebody like Donald Trump who does not give his daughter to a Jew.
So Donald Trump, but like more racist.
A lot more racist than Donald Trump. I don't think that you could feel about race the way I do and watch that Kushner bastard walk around with that beautiful girl, okay?
Wow. Poof. Yeah, I mean, that kind of ignorance, stupidity, and hatred is really difficult to watch.
Sure is.
And see.
Yeah, watch and understand.
Really? Wow.
I don't even...
Can't get your head around it at all.
No, I don't. This is an interesting clip talking about how, you know, again, we made this point many times. The alt-right is not right. They are the alternative to the right. They are not alternative versions of right-wing philosophies. These are freaking left-wing nutjobs. National Socialist, Nazi Party. Made this point a zillion times.
Left.
Listen,
it's a left thing.
This guy says left, but listen to him critique capitalism.
Yeah.
Watch.
The left wasn't able to beat us. The left, who are the boot boys of the capitalist class and the bourgeoisie and the status quo. So they weren't able to beat
this guy's
us
a Marxist.
With their armed militant left-wing radicals. So they had to turn to the state. If that doesn't go to show that the radical left, the corporations, and the state are all on the same Jewish side, a moment like this proves it.
Can you tell us a little bit about the organizing tactics you guys used?
Sure, primarily following the European example of Golden Dawn, the Nordic Resistance Movement, and other organizations that really are at the vanguard of nationalist organizing in the world. Be able to coordinate over a large area to bring our people together. This is the largest nationalist rally in over two decades here in the United States. It's incredibly exciting.
If you look at what's happening,
they've had to bring in leftists from around the entire country to try and stop us. And now we're continuing. We're going to keep having a great time, and we're going to keep fighting.
Gosh, I mean, you gotta love a guy who admires the Nordic resistance, don't you?
Oh, he is a huge passion of all
of
ours.
Times have we talked about the Nordic resistance?
Oh, so many.
Oh, man.
It's funny, you listen to him, it sounds like he's raising money for autism awareness. It's like, oh, we're having a great time, we're going to keep marching, we're going to bring people together. Lots of people from all around the country have showed up, and we're really making a difference here.
It's the largest gathering in 20 years.
Yeah, I know, which is, if true, which I don't know if that is true, but if true, that is frightening, man. That is frightening. We're in a weird freaking place.
Well, and he said right at the beginning, he showed you where he's coming from, because he's talking about the European model of left and right, and he might be right on to the right of the political spectrum there, because he considers himself a national socialist or a Nazi or whatever he is.
Yeah,
I mean, there's some Marxism in there for sure, because he's talking bourgeoisie and corporations and all that stuff is just code word for communism.
Again, it's like we're not pointing out something unique here. You know who else was also a Marxist? All the Nazis.
Yeah,
they socialists. They were all Marxists, all of them. That was a defining characteristic of their movement. That is not a right-wing movement. It's infuriating that that lives on. It continues. This last one is the clip of...
the justification of all
justification. Now, remember, this is the car crash. You've seen the video. The guy drives... He absolutely, 100% with intent, tries to drive and kill all these people. It's so blatantly obvious in the video. But, of course, it's not blatantly obvious to white supremacists.
But the car that struck a protester, that's unprovoked.
That's not true, and you know that it's not true. You've seen the video. So.
I've seen a video. I don't know much about it.
I understand
can
that
you describe what the video appears to show?
Okay, so the video appears to show someone striking that vehicle when these animals attacked him again, and he saw no way to get away from them except to hit the gas. Sadly... because our rivals are a bunch of stupid animals who don't pay attention, they couldn't just get out of the way of his car, and some people got hurt, and that's unfortunate.
So you think it was justified?
I think it was more than justified.
Oh, man.
I can't believe the amount of restraint that our people showed out there, I think, was astounding.
What do you think this means for the next alt-right protest?
I say it's going to be really tough to top, but we're up to the challenge.
Wait, why?
Why?
Tough to top. I mean, someone died.
I think that a lot more people are going to die before we're done here, frankly.
Why?
Why? Because people die every day, right? I mean,
like of a heart attack. I mean, violent death.
Well, people die violent deaths all the time, right? Like, this is part of the reason that we want an ethno-state, right? So, the blacks are killing each other in staggering numbers from coast to coast. We don't really want to have all of that.
Right?
Anymore. Man.
And so, the fact that they resist us when we say, hey, we want a homeland... is not shocking to me, all right? These people want violence, and the right is just meeting market demand.
Look at that. I mean, this is astounding stuff.
It really is.
You just don't know these people exist, and then there he is right in front of you. She's good. I like her.
Yeah.
She's a good reporter.
I got to say, again, it's one of the best pieces of news coverage
I've
got to
watch this whole thing, because that's amazing.
It's fascinating to watch. You are right in the middle of it. It's insane. And people like this, again, I've never met anyone like the people in this video.
Wow,
but
never.
They clearly exist. And and you know, it's one thing to see. You know, there's been documentaries done over the years of just like you go see a family of white supremacists. Like people go to, you know, they'll go and there's one documentary series that went to Westboro Baptist Church and was in the house with them for a week and like interviewed them. And
that was a good documentary.
That was really good too. Yeah. But you kind of sit there and you're like, all right, well, this is just something, right? It's this one quirky, weird family. Here is, I mean, you see, it looks like thousands. Look at this crowd. I mean, I guess that looks like more like hundreds
it's
there.
It's heartbreaking, and it's aggravating, and it's mind-numbing all at the same time.
Yeah.
It sure is. Did they ask in the documentary how much money was spent on the Walmart tiki torches?
A lot, Jeffy. A lot. And Tiki's pissed off about it. They're like, we didn't have anything to do with the freaking white supremacists.
Watch there be a boycott against Tiki now.
I know. All right. 888-727 back. When we come back on the other side, I want to show you this one video from NBC News, which they actually found during the Trump press conference where he was kind of getting defensive over this issue. They decided to just turn the cameras to General Kelly, the new chief of staff, and watch his reactions.
Pretty
interesting. We'll come back with that here in just a minute. 888-727 back is the phone number.
You know, you stay up late watching these quirky white supremacist documentaries. You may be a little tired. You may need a little bit of energy. You may need a little bit of focus. That is, you know, I think everybody lives that life these days. I mean, maybe back in the day there was more of an opportunity to get 8 hours of sleep. That sounds like a wonderful dream to me at this point. Now I've been able to, and I've been introduced to Dawn to Dusk. I've talked to you about it before. Dawn to Dusk is from Brickhouse Nutrition. It's a physician-formulated extended-release energy supplement, which lasts up to 10 hours. So you don't have to constantly be refueling. You got 10 hours. It increases energy, and it improves your mood, plus stimulates your brain, all with no jitters. If you're tired of wasting all the cash on the caffeine, on the coffee, only to crash, and you want something a little bit more effective, that's going to give you a boost and increase your focus. This is for you. Give it a shot. It's 15% off right now for a one-month supply when you use the offer code STEW at checkout when you go to BrickHouseStew.com. BrickHouseStew.com. Use the offer code STEW. You need to get that. Or use that to get the 15% off. It's BrickHouseStew.com.
Hi.
Oh, man.
And welcome. It's Pat and Stu. You kind of teased the Chief of Staff John Kelly reaction to Trump.
Yeah, it's not.
I didn't see that.
It's a good idea by the reporters, right? And it's not nothing overly crazy, but it's interesting to watch him. The pain.
So he didn't put his head in his hands.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Well, he almost
oh,
does at one point.
Kelly.
Let's go and watch.
Sure
it.
Want him to. I'll tell you that.
You can hear Trump talking in the background, so you can see what he's reacting to. It's definitely mildly entertaining. Watch.
All right.
The night before they marched with torches.
I wanted to see the facts. And the facts, as they started coming out, were very well stated. In fact, everybody said his statement was beautiful. If he would have made it sooner, that would have been good. I couldn't have made it sooner because I didn't know all of the facts.
That's obviously a point they have agreed on.
People still don't know all of the facts.
Who wrote that statement?
Oh, boy.
It was very important to me to get the facts out and correct it. Because if I would have made a fast statement, and the first statement was made without knowing much other than what we were seeing. The second statement was made after with knowledge, with great knowledge.
What were the many sides you were talking about, sir?
There's still things that people don't know.
What was the other side?
I made a statement with knowledge. I wanted to know the
second. You said on many sides, Mr. President.
Was this terrorism, and can you tell us how you're feeling about your chief of staff?
Well, I think the driver of the car is a disgrace to himself, his family, and his country.
It's interesting to see because he has a couple moments where he's like, yeah, okay, good, you nailed that point.
And then a few grimaces.
A couple grimaces in there as well.
He's thinking to himself the whole time, why the hell did I get myself into this mess? Why?
I could just walk over there and pull him off the stage right now.
Let me just do this stupid press conference. I mean, anybody would do a better job than Donald Trump in this particular situation.
I think. Widely reported that the plan was for him to just say the thing and walk off stage. Don't answer questions.
Really?
Yeah, and he just did it anyway because he just does it. He can't control himself.
Man.
You know, they announced today Hope Hicks is taking over for the White House Communications Director, at least in an interim basis. I don't know, you know, she may or may not want the job permanently, but like this is the type of gig where she's the type of person that's good for this. Because it's not, there's two things they've tried, which is A, find someone to control him. That's never going to work. He's who he is. He's never, you're never going to control him like that. The other side of it is mind-numbing automatron defender that will say anything.
Right.
The Michael Cohens of the world.
You don't want that either.
You don't want that either. So with someone like Hope Hicks, seemingly you have someone who's very competent, smart, professional.
Beautiful.
That is, well, there you go.
Doesn't hurt.
No, but that wasn't really the point of it, but yes. the point, though, is that like you have someone who actually will, look, surround this guy with the best people you can, and then he has at least the opportunity to be a success. If he blows it, then he blows it. But right now, how can you, I mean, it would be difficult to be successful when you're surrounded with people like Steve Bannon. And until he can get that stuff corrected, you know, it's going to be very difficult for him to be successful. Now, I, as you know, am a major skeptic that even if you do this exactly right and surround him with people like John Kelly, he still does these things. But at least that's completely on him. No excuses.
Yep.
All of these things now are on him. And hopefully he figures out a way to get over it. One more thing before we go to break. This story with Jake Tapper. We've liked Jake Tapper from back in the Obama days because he was the only guy at one point who would ever ask Barack Obama a difficult question. I mean, there was a period there where he was literally by himself.
Him and John Carl.
And then John Carl kind of came along after that, and he was really good as well. Did Carl replace Tapper at ABC?
I think so.
I can't remember.
There was something. One replaced the other. One went to the other's job or something, and I think it was that way. But I never see John Carl anymore. I don't know what happened to him.
I haven't seen him. I did see him ask a question in one of the press conferences. I think he's still doing it, but I mean, they may have given him other assignments as well. This is one thing I thought was pretty interesting because people will come now that Tapper is out there, and he's been very critical of Trump as well. Now he's been critical of Obama and he was critical of Trump. That's kind of the indication of a good journalist typically when you have very recent examples of both of them. But people will criticize. Will say, how could you guys defend Jake Tapper? Well, look what he said about Trump. Well, here's another example of it. This is from a Rolling Stone interview. This is what Jake Tapper said in Rolling Stone today, like this month. President Obama said things that weren't true and got away with it for a variety of reasons, the CNN anchor said. And one of that the media was much more supportive of him. True. However, the Obama White House thought Jake Tapper, was a self-righteous and huge pain in the ass, which is absolutely true. And we forget this because now he's being critical of Trump. But the Obama administration couldn't stand Jake Tapper.
There were two people that they couldn't stand. One was Jake Tapper. The other was John Carl. Mm-hmm. And it was because they were the only two who on any occasion would dare ask them an uncomfortable question. They're the only ones.
Yeah. And he said, goes on to say, a lot of people that on the left that didn't like it before now like it. I don't want to compare Obama and President Trump on these issues because they're different and the scale isn't the same. And then he also went on to say there's a perception that you've become more radical given your decision to call it Trump's falsehoods. Maybe that's because people were just more aware of it now was what he was asked. And I think, like, it's true. Mm. Here's a guy who was outspoken against Donald Trump.
We pointed that out a million times.
And Barack Obama. We did it at the time. People loved him in our audience back when Obama was in
there.
And
now they don't because he's doing the same thing.
I mean, can't you just go look at this and say, hey.
Good journalist.
He's doing it. Now, yes, does he go maybe further on certain issues? He's been critical of Trump in points where I don't like the way he's being critical of Trump. But, I mean, you have to give him his due. The guy has done it on both sides, and that's something to praise.
Yep. 888-727-BECK. More of us.
Sorry about that.
Is inevitable. It's going to happen. There's just less of it to worry about, now. Pat and Stu, with our one remaining hour. You know why there's no second hour now? Jews.
Jews will not replace us. Jews will not replace us.
Except they did. They replaced us with Jews.
They did?
Yeah.
Who's doing a second hour?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was Juice. They replaced us with Juice. It's an all-juicer program. I guess they show you how to make, like, carrot juice, and orange juice,
that's true.
And grape juice.
I prefer it. Is that weird to say? I actually really like it. I mean, what they do with carrots, who knew?
I know, right?
It's incredible.
Right? It's a fascinating show. I think you'll love it. Make sure you're tuned in.
I like that they save the pulp. Yeah, I like that they save the pulp.
The pulp is good for you.
It's very
I do not like the pulp, however. I do not like it, Sam.
This is the sort of debate we're going to have here in the first hour to get you ready for the juicing hour.
All right.
This is interesting. A right-wing report from economist Grace Lorden of the right-wing London School of Economics.
Which is a socialist school.
David Newmark of the right-wing UC Irvine.
Yeah.
Parsed 35 years of census data and came down on debate on minimum wage. What they found was, for lower-skilled jobs like bookkeepers and assembly line workers, higher minimum wages encourage employers to automate.
Liar!
According to their calculations, a $1 increase can cost tens of thousands of jobs.
Liar!
Unsurprisingly, the paper has triggered serious pushback, and Axios kind of covers the pushback. But really,
this is from the London School of Economics.
Yeah, London. Yeah, this is
holy cow. I mean, those guys are. I mean, they might as well be Carl and Friedrich themselves, because that's about who. In fact, I think they went to that school, didn't they?
You know, Marx did go and Engels study in London.
Yeah, he did, and I think it was at that school. It's notorious for its social leanings, socialism leaning.
Yeah, and I policies. Think the most relevant part of the study, because I think, look, take out the Bernie Sanders of the world, okay, mm-hmm. for a moment. Every rational person and every rational economist will acknowledge that if you try to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour, it's going to be a catastrophe. Mm-hmm. Okay, but a lot of really sensible people would say, oh, you know what, a couple dollars more here or there is not a big deal. This study only focused on a minimum raise hike from $6.77 an hour to $7.77 an hour.
Good
golly. $1 raise.
Then what,
and even
what's going to happen with an $8 an hour raise?
Oh, my God. It would be absolute catastrophe.
Catastrophe.
And you know, Hillary Clinton was asking for, I think, $11 or $12 an hour. Also a catastrophe.
Yeah.
I mean, a $1 raise is really something that there is, I would say, disagreement about among economists. They'll say, well, yes, it does some damage, but it also does some good. Here, they show that it actually does a lot of damage. And they're saying, like, well, you know, the defense is weak. It's like, well, some of these people might get automated out of their jobs and go find another job. Well, yeah, they might. But what you're saying here is the minimum wage hike is eliminating those jobs. Mm-hmm. And that's really the focus of the report. It's pretty cut and dried.
And it's interesting because I wish we would look at the fundamental issue to me of the minimum wage is that this isn't meant to be a living salary for the rest of your life.
No.
It's not meant to raise a family on. It is meant for entry-level people to get experience in the workforce, have enough money to hopefully support themselves in at the very beginning of their life, and then move on to something else.
That's why the minimum wage is not supposed to be an end point,
right.
Unless you're Jeffy.
Unless, of course.
Which is, of course. And then,
how long are you supposed to be stuck at that?
Well, it's something you can look forward to. The one day you might get to minimum wage.
Wait, you didn't get to minimum wage, did you?
Not
that's
here.
That's a mistake if you did.
No, not here.
Okay.
All right.
Got to make sure that's clear. 888-727-BECK is the phone number. Let's talk to you about, maybe a change you could make in your life. Because your current phone carrier is making some mistakes. It's intentional for them, but it's not intentional for you. They're spending tens of millions of dollars, and those dollars come from people like you, to remove conservative leaders from office.
Yeah, but you have Patriot Mobile. That's a good thing. They offer nationwide talk and text, high-speed 4G LTE data, and really low prices, lower than what you're paying now. Then they'll donate up to 5% of your monthly bill to a conservative organization or a conservative cause or a conservative candidate that you like.
You might not have known your money was going to the left. Make it go to the right instead. Go to patriotmobile.com/patentstew. patriotmobile.com/patentstew and take advantage of their back-to-school special. Gets you unlimited talk, text, and data along with a free Samsung or iPhone, all for a flat fee of only $55 per month.
Use the promo code back to school, and they'll also waive your activation fee. patriotmobile.com/patentstew. That's patriotmobile.com/patentstew. Or 1-800-A-PATRIOT, 1-800-A-PATRIOT. Hello. I have not seen this video yet, but this looks intriguing. A video mocking Alex Jones, mocking Glenn Beck. That sounds like...
Nice.
That sounds promising. Let's take a look.
Beck, boom, everywhere. Glenn Beck. Mark that spot. The plague lies there. The enemy. There's nothing worse. Little minion. This little gremlin. Beck's not even a goblin. He's a gremlin. Glenn Beck.
Glenn Beck.
And he sits there like he's always on a toilet. He has this little face like he's constipated.
Yep.
Glenn Beck sits there in a chair. He comes on. He's like, where's this part where he's constipated on the screenshot? Like back at the beginning of the video. Because it's so funny how Max all constipated. Here, I'm split screen. Here we go.
What?
This is what they came up with? Let's hear the creature that they dug up out of atheist, God-hating abortion radio. And let's hear what he has to say.
What is frightening to me is the lack of reaction.
It
from
back the crowd. What's frightening to me, it's all calculated. He scripts with actors and hops around, big candy ass. I'm talking about Beck. I'm so scared. He's like, so everybody's supposed to be scared now. So dumb. Here it is.
What is frightening to me
everyone hates you, but the dumbest people. Look how pathetic he feels. Like, ooh, we have the moral high ground. Here it is.
What is frightening to me is...
I'm sorry, back at the beginning. I mean, just because I want to see that constipated look again.
What is frightening to me
is... This is too sweet. See, he is such an arrogant piece of garbage. Let's finish the clip.
What is frightening to me...
You're a bad person. You're a bad person. You're a bad, bad person. You're a bad person.
Piece of trash, in my view.
Wow.
What the hell?
Wow.
I don't know.
I can't even... I can't even venture a guess at what the hell he's
arrogant
talking about.
From the guy who tears his shirt off all the time and shows us his hideous skin? Oh.
Well, I don't even understand.
Wow. That was something else.
The only thing I do like about the last year or two is that everyone's now on the bandwagon we've been on for a while, which is making fun of Alex Jones.
That is fun.
That is the only good thing that's come out of the last 2 years. That is it.
The only thing I think of really is that, I mean, he's just dying for us to talk about him.
Yeah, he is definitely.
No, that is true.
Yeah, he's definitely has a bizarre sort of obsession. And this goes back many, many years.
Yes, it does.
And that's kind of the reason we even know who he is, because he just used to talk about Glenn all the time. And it was kind of interesting to kind of see that sort of develop. And he's now risen to some level of prominence. A level of prominence I would venture to say is too high.
Yes. Well, I mean, and he did that because he's a huge supporter of Trump, and Trump added legitimacy to him by coming on his crappy show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's inconceivable that a presidential candidate would come on a show.
I don't think that word means what you think it means.
You're probably right.
I could be wrong on that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. 888-727 back. Oh, we didn't get to the Death of Stalin official trailer. Which sounds really good.
All right, this one's got to be tomorrow.
Okay, for sure tomorrow.
Is tomorrow Thursday?
Yes.
Okay.
Tomorrow's Thursday.
And then we promised the forgotten Milton Bradley board games, like Town Dump from 1977.
Oh, yeah, we got to get to those.
We got to do that. We're not good. We have not figured this out yet. Let's be perfectly frank about it. We went from 2 hours to 1 hour. And we have not yet figured out how to do what we want to do in 1 hour.
We're still trying to squeeze a full 4 minutes of entertainment into that hour.
Right.
But and there's just no time.
No, you
there's
can't.
Just no
time. Because we have to fill up the other 56 with our nonsense.
Right.
So I don't know if we're going to get better at this, to be perfectly frank, but we're going to try.
It's not that good of a bet.
But we got some really good games to tell you about tomorrow. Feely Mealy. That sounds so.
Isn't that your game, Jeffy? Didn't you? Weren't you involved?
It had nothing to do with Milton Bradley.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That was a Jeffy.
Because Jeffy, feelingmealy.com, I believe, is Jeffy's website.
Yes,
I could be wrong on that.
And you can. Nah, never mind.
All right.
That's twice.